This was Monday, 5 days after the San Bernardino massacre, and just over 5 miles from the site of the crime. A cable news crew had found a familiar location for a stand-up.
Investigators say they don't know if anyone was involved. Investigators say they don't know if anyone else was involved in the planning of the attack, and at this point they see no evidence of any planning from outside the United States. In Redlands, California, Jonathan Hunt, Fox News. Right? Do you want me to do another one of this?
Behind him, the boarded-up condo apartment at 53 North Center Street, Redlands. It was already an iconic image because not only did the alleged killers live and conspire there, it had already been the scene of a historic moment in the annals of breaking and entering.
We have a bedroom here, and spread out appears to be credit cards and IDs. So here's California ID.
MSNBC's Carrie Sanders last Friday sifting through the banal detritus of evil.
I'm going to step away here. We have a
driver's license.
Moments earlier, dozens of journalists had stormed the premises, rifling frantically through the couple's belongings like bargain hunters at Lowman's. The unexpected real-time episode of the lives of the dead and infamous was so sudden, so unstoppable, and so unhinged that social media exploded in revulsion. Even CNN's Anderson Cooper expressed incredulity at what he was showing his own viewers.
Harry, it just strikes me as bizarre what we're seeing. Is this common?
It seemed like the apotheosis of what disgusts the majority of Americans who are disgusted with the media.
Vultures, jackals, and hyenas vie with each other, each taking its share where it can, using the tools at its disposal. Razor beaks, serrated teeth, or grinding jaws.
A bunch of slavering scavengers? Hold that thought. Meantime, where have we seen anything like this before? A door broken through, a breathtaking breach, an uncontrollable dark force.
Here's Johnny!
No, I mean a really dark force. Cynical, greedy, and shameless.
Now what, if anything, that vault contains, we don't know. This is an adventure you and I are going to be taking together.
Yeah, it had its echoes, but at least Geraldo never acted like Al Capone's vault mattered. Once again, last Friday on MSNBC.
Now, as I turn around here, I think I find something interesting. As we look at the floor here, this is a prayer rug. So this prayer rug here may have been, I'm not sure which way, but you would face it towards Mecca.
If Twitter blew up with rage, the neighbors of Syed Rizwan Farouk and Tashfeen Malik were somewhat more philosophical, or let's just say ambivalent.
Well, it was a media circus. There were so many newsmen here.
Glad, I guess, to see how the media was covering us and giving us a first view of what had happened there.
I think the way they were pushing each other was pretty repulsive. I mean, I don't mind the news reporting as long as they don't act like animals while they're doing it.
Linda Hamilton and her husband live directly across Center Street from the alleged shooter's condo. Last Friday, as the frenzy unfolded, they toggled between their window and the television. And as she viewed, Linda pondered the salient question.
I kept asking myself, so what is the media really responsible for reporting to the public? What does the public really need to know versus what is just pure sensationalism? It's a hard line to draw, but, the facts rather than speculation would be one part of it.
Well, yes, that. But, of course, in her very question also lies the explanation. In the natural vacuum of authoritative information in the hours and days after a tragedy, whether a crime or a natural disaster, there is a lot of airtime to fill, and any new detail takes on disproportionate value, whereupon all rationality is displaced by what Alan Greenspan has called irrational exuberance and what is usually called mania. And if you can show a picture of it, well, Katie bar the door, MSNBC.
And it looks like somebody's nice birthday party there.
Let's not show the child, Carrie.
I'm sorry, Andrea. This is sort of unfolding live as we're doing it, so I'm not sure what the next picture is going to be until I pull them open.
There is news in its finished form, in print and broadcast. There is news in process, live press conferences, where the public gets to see the press at work and is sometimes appalled at the artlessness of it all. The sausage making, they call that, which is sometimes unappetizing, but usually yields at least a palatable product. Then there was Redlands, a nauseating grind of current events viscera that would never become a sausage. The process itself was the product, and it was disgusting. But as the old punchline goes, the portions are so big. The info looting at 53 North Center fed not only the bottomless cable news appetite for details, but also the viewers' unbounded curiosity. I asked a woman named Virginia Smith, who set up a prayer station outside the San Bernardino shooting site, about media consumption in what she called the fallen world.
Did you personally feel a little dirty at your desire to see the belongings and the ephemera of the life of these killers?
Yes. I felt it was not going to be the best thing for me to be viewing, and it was not the best thing for me to be viewing.
So exactly what was this episode an apotheosis of? An overheated media marketplace, or merely nature in all its simplicity and brutality? Was scavenger really the right analogy? Patricia Johnson is a professor of microbiology at UCLA. I asked her if the press feeding greedily on the Redlands photo op is part of a larger ecosystem, one that ultimately feeds the primal appetites of the audience.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Of course they were. But that's what they do.
What do you do for a living? What's your specialty?
I do primarily biomedical and basic research in parasitology.
So would it be fair to say you know a parasite when you see one?
Yes.
So it's official. Parasites. Cable news, certainly. But also, us.
Coming up, the life and death of a crusading journalist.
This is On the Media.